Hey folks, welcome back to How We Roll podcast. This week and for the next few weeks, we are sponsored by a fantastic Kickstarter, which I'd love to tell you about. Dragons Conquer America is back with a meaty 300-page long core book. As you may infer from the title, this is a fantasy game, which will take you back to 16th century America, to a world full of feathered serpents, jaguar warriors, drowned gods, and of course, dragons. You'll be able to create unique characters from 13 available orders, including dragon riders, tomb raiders, eagle warriors, priests, and more. With them, you'll be able to play stories of adventurers who explore the Mesoamerican lands, hunt devilish monsters, and discover ancient ruins. This game is intended for avid roleplayers who enjoy complex and gritty settings with spectacular art and vivid gameplay. It's out on Kickstarter right now, and I very, very much recommend you check it out. The link will be in the show notes, and I'll also retweet on Twitter. And now time for the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Oh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Welcome back to How We Roll podcast. We are continuing our epic Curse of Strahd campaign as we make our way through Valaki with a split party of six players in four different places. So it's going really, really well.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
So
because player agency.
If this is the first time you've ever listened to How We Roll, then maybe just go back a few episodes to find out what's happening. But if you want to, if that's not your thing, you want to find out who we are right now, I am Joe. I am the DM and writer and herder of cats, figuratively and literally. I'll be DMing Curse of Strahd. And I'm joined by six fantastic players, which is awesome and not at all stressful. We're going to do a very quick introduction and quick recap, and then we'll jump right back in with the action. So who are you and who are your characters? Let's just start with Owen.
I am Owen, I guess chief stress tester of Joe's games and chief stress inducer of stress for Joe. I'm playing Seth Thorngage, level 6 rogue, who's an arcane trickster and a little on the tubby side. Owns a windmill. All around cool guy.
He fit through a fence last lesson, so
last lesson.
Okay,
alright, I know you were a teacher, that's a long ago, but come on, don't condescend me. You've killed me 3 times, I've learnt my lesson.
Next up is Dave. Dave, who are you playing tonight?
Hey, I'm Dave, I'm playing Eric Godzan Nachthammer, a level 6 dwarven paladin, who's a skeleton and whose strange things are happening to.
and I promise you'll get to play this episode. Next up we have Lisa. Lisa, who are you playing tonight?
Hello, I'm Lisa Lee, and I am playing Viesa Ravinthos. She's a little cluid, and she's just escaped some guards, but now we might be in a spot of trouble. Yes, we'll be fine. This will be fine.
Okay, next up we have Niall.
Hey guys, I'm Niall. I am playing Boron Alar, a level 6 high elf wizard who is also a zombie and is probably about to be murdered again by a vampire.
Hey, you split the party. And next we have, believe it or not, we still have Aaron. He hasn't escaped us. So Aaron, who are you playing tonight?
I am playing Sulfurex, surprise, surprise, yet again, a.k.a. Yevgeny, who I am still trapped in the body of.
And last, we have, from Godsfall, from Neon Rivals, we have the one and only Aram playing Grayson.
but at
this
not point, least.
I'm not sure if he's... Is he a guest? Like, I mean, this is something like the 8th...
I've been here for a while. The,
25th, 26th...
We'll adopt him, it's okay.
Guest in residence.
Yeah, yeah, guest in residence. Guest who's going to be shipping a lot of books next month, so he's probably going to drop away free for a bit, but, you know, long-time guest.
Long-time guest. So, who are you playing
to? Right, sorry, I just saw through the introduction. My name is Aram, and I am playing Grayson, an awakened cat on a quest for revenge, who is also a 6th-level shadow monk.
So, on last week's episode, awful lot happened. So, first of all, we had Saf exploring the grounds of the Burgomaster. He almost got caught by the guards, but something knocked into the ground, an invisible force that not only saved him from being spotted, but also began to direct him by moving sticks around, making arrows, and has led him into the Burgomaster's mansion. We also have Voron and Viesa, who have made their way into the old coffin maker's shop. They've made their way into the top floor and they're beginning to explore some old crates filled with soil, and I think the last time we saw them, the dead body of Miliov's eyes have just flicked open. We also have Grayson, who's in the church warning Father Lucian and all the residents, all the people seeking sanctuary, of the incoming impending vampire attack. He also defended Irina and the children on the top floor from one of the vampire spawn. Took some damage but managed to scare it off. And last, and by no means least, because this is how we roll and that's what we say, we have Solvarix and Eric, Ulrich, isn't it?
Eric! God damn it, Eric!
Who are locked in a dungeon somewhere. Eric has just awoken from some sort of skeletal coma, dreaming of some ancient wedding. And I think, guys, we're going to start with you two. So back over to you.
I look over at the body that Solvarix now inhabits, and, well, it's rather obvious we need to escape from here. Let me just... Have you tried to talk to this old man?
Yeah. He doesn't say much. He's kind of out of it. But, I've been waiting for you to wake, because what I might do is... Well, I can unpossess him, and therefore I will be able to have a look around. Hopefully I'll be able to find something, but, I need someone to stay with, this body that I inhabit. Make sure, you know, he doesn't freak out.
Yeah. Can I just, before he does that, can I just lay my healing hands on the old man and see how badly injured he is?
A lot of it's quite superficial. So he's obviously been beaten, but not with the intention of like doing permanent damage. He's just been bruised and roughed up and generally upset. You think he's suffering from severe shock, though. He's like rocking backwards and forth.
But it's psychological, not...
Yeah, I mean, he is hurt. Like, I mean, an old man being beaten, I mean, an old anyone being beaten is not good. But you don't think you need to spend any of your healing on him if it's a mechanical sort of thing.
He sees Silvarik sees a slight glow from Hansel.
Well, I can't speak for his mind, but the body will keep will hold you.
Okay, well, hold on then, because this, I'm not too good at this. This takes a bit of practice, and I kind of close my eyes, and the body, the vessel that I'm in, shudders and. Kind of just like a shiver, as if someone's walked over your grave, as my spirit leaves the carcass or the body that I have borrowed in Yevgeny.
Okay, so you are in a small cell. Ahead you can see that to your right and to your left there are two more cells. Both of these are empty. The corridor continues for about 15 feet before ending in a door which is completely closed. The whole area is about an inch deep in freezing cold water. At least you hope it's water for the sake of the other poor prisoners. And you look down, you see yourself as a pale blue form, ghostly and white.
sort of looking up into the room, because I assume I can't see him, just sort of looking up into the room. Also, might not be a bad idea if you have a little scout around in your disembodied form. Just sort of staring up, looking around randomly in the room, not knowing where he's at this point.
I can... It's everything I look at is in a weird tone of grey and blue, and I can see Eric behind me just kind of speaking out, looking around the room. In a kind of weird echo sort of, you know, as you imagine a ghostly audio would sound like.
And Yevgeny has collapsed and he is now unconscious.
Okay, so I don't have to worry
the
about
possession.
That.
No, but the possession for the last 2 or 3 days, last 2 days, it's probably less actually. A lot we've packed quite a lot into about 36 hours.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's taken its toll and he is now completely unconscious and lying prostrate in this murky water.
Okay, I'm going to pass out through the bars of the cell.
Okay, it is a distinctly uncomfortable and almost painful. Like if you had a body, you'd be in agony doing it. It feels wrong, and it doesn't feel good. But you do manage to push yourself through the bars. Although there is a moment where you feel that you're kind of stuck halfway.
Right.
And you kind of like try and grab onto the bars to push yourself through, but obviously your arms go through the bars, and then you do manage. It's more force of will that you that carries you forward, and you do find yourself in this corridor.
I'm never going to get used to that. And I kind of go through and start walking up the end of the corridor as I try and find, you know, some sort of guard or some sort of information on how it is we could escape.
Okay, just give me a perception check. Okay, you don't see anything of use, but you do see on the floor a small white object. And when you lean down to look close, you see it is a tooth.
Like a normal human tooth?
Yeah, including the roots. And the roots themselves are red and still have some flesh on them.
Mm. So is there a door or guards anywhere?
So as I said, there's two more cells, and at the end of the corridor, about 15 foot away, there is a closed, iron-bound door.
Okay, I'll go up to the iron-bound door and kind of push my way through there.
Okay, so you push your way through and you find yourself in, again, really unpleasant as you kind of squeeze yourself through the wood. And there is a moment where you can actually see the inside of the wood. I don't know if you've seen The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox, but there's a great scene where he goes, anyway. And you find yourself in a very, very thin staircase heading up. At the top, there's another, to your horror, there's another closed door.
Just grit my teeth and just push through that one as well.
Okay, so you are in a grand foyer, like an entrance hall of a huge manor. Framed portraits adorn the walls, a wide staircase with a sculpted railing, a long carpeted hall stretching almost the length of this mansion that has several doors leading away from it. So the hallway itself is filled with bundles of sticks and what seems to be a half-completed sculpture. You see these kind of immense wings, a rearing dragon's head all made from wound wood, and directly in front of you is the familiar form of Saf. And he seems to be messing with part of this sculpture, the body of this sculpture, which seems to be a dragon. You also notice a ghostly figure hovering above his shoulder. You recognize it as the burgomaster of village of Barovia, Ismark, who
still hanging
left
around,
at
huh?
Castle Ravenloft when you possessed Warty. He turns around and goes, "Oh my god, Suvarek, you almost gave me a heart attack."
"Where are we? Do you know where this place is?"
At this moment, like, Owen,
yep.
Saf, that's you're kind of like messing around, pouring this dust over the statue, if that's what you want to do.
We are in Valaki. This is the Burgomaster's mansion. I've been helping your friend here.
We need to get out. We are locked and shackled in the basement. We have no means of escape.
Hang on. I think I can help you. And he goes over to Saf, and like you see him like drawing in energy, and then he sort of pushes forward, and Saf flies backwards about 2 feet. What the
fuck is going on?
In the direction of this doorway.
Come on, have a go. It's quite fun.
Suddenly, you find yourself in a subway station underground, kicking cans.
So if you want to push Saf, can you give me a charisma check, please?
I'll try.
Charisma
it.
Check?
Yeah, ghosts work on their... Because they have not much else. They use their charisma to...
23.
How far would you like to push Saf?
Down the stairs.
Ah, nice!
I'm a heavy 28 pounds, like a real heavy.
How close is he to the wall?
If you look on the map, he's right in the centre of this large room.
Get off my train!
Can I push him as far enough to just lightly bump into the wall?
You can.
There's
going
to be a...
Do you want him to receive damage?
No.
Shaped hole in the wall, 100%, isn't there?
So, Saf, you fly back 3 foot and thump into the wall.
Okay. So this is... I've literally been pushed a small bit once, and then all of a sudden I'm just pushed like 6 feet by the second push.
Yeah. Almost like you've been picked up by a large figure.
Sanity check. Oh,
Nice.
I want to do like the Simpsons. I'm just going to swing my hands like this, and if you happen to get hit...
I'm just going to bite the air, and if the pie manages to get eaten, that's not my fault.
I want
to
kind of...
So, Saf, you've landed next to a door, which seems to be a small door, which you'd previously not noticed, presumably leading down into a cellar or maybe a dungeon.
So I've at this point gotten all my dust sprinkled. Like my sprinkly dust is sprinkled.
It is. Would you like it to be sprinkled on one? Like the statue's in different parts.
Oh, I am covering that thing. There's wings, there's a head. Everywhere. Like every bit of it.
So share it out about amongst all of
them. Yes.
Okay, definitely. So you've done that. That's now empty. And you kind of like thump the back of the jar and it's now completely empty. You're happy with that. And there's this kind of like ghostly sigh, and you almost see... In fact, you do see this horrendous thing. I'm sure there's a film where someone like opens their mouth and like these like flies.
You're thinking of the
mummy. Yeah, 100%.
And then you kind of sort of sit up and burp and suddenly feel really good for the first time in a long while.
It's like a Saturday morning hangover.
You're now free of the guys and you're free of the Vistani curse.
So I've done that, and can we assume I get pushed?
I'm also going to award you with inspiration because that's kind of like a minor plot element that's been solved. So congratulations. Cool.
That didn't feel like I really solved anything. It was fairly self... Like, I was brought to water there, Phil. But I'll take it. So is that happened? And basically I do that, bugs out of my mouth, and then 3 feet to the right into a wall. Is that what's happening? Is that
I think maybe you thumped into the wall and then that happened.
Okay,
so you're probably associating it with the curing.
Burp the baby.
Like, Yeah, so yeah, that's why I was asking. It's like, okay, I'm assuming that's part of this weird guysy I'm no longer fighting fire thingy. So can I go back and examine the door wall scenario?
Okay. Yeah, so just give me a... Before you do, just give me a quick perception check.
A perception check. Plus 3. Roll 20 gives me a 7 total bollocks.
You can hear various voices within the mansion, but you don't know... You can't... You just hear sort of murmured voices from different rooms, but I can't give you any more details of like which room, what they sound like, what they're saying, anything like that.
Which direction they come from?
With a 7, I can't even tell you that. I can tell you they're not coming from this door that leads down to the dungeon.
Okay, cool. Did not know it was a dungeon. I still will go that way, because I think that's what I'd probably do. Secret doors seem super cool to me. Me being Seth.
Sorry to interrupt the show, but as you may know, we have partnered with the clicker game Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms, and they would like to share with you a golden chest. All you have to do is log into the game and enter the code HOWWEROLLPODCAST. Now, back to the show. Let's switch the camera over to Viesa and Voron. So Viesa, you are head deep in one of these crates, which is filled with like murky soil, like evil smelling soil. Voron, you've just gone over to the body of Miliov, and its eyes have just flicked open.
I let out a yell, just like, Jesus! And, well, not Jesus, because he's not in this world. Yeah. But,
Corn's beard!
Mistra! And he just, like, jumped backwards, like, 5 feet away from the corpse. And I immediately just cast Firebolt right into his face.
You're like the worst gun owner ever. It's like, oh, Fireball!
It's Fireball, though, and it's not as bad as Fireball.
Sorry, Jesus, okay, you haven't burned the whole building now. Just one specific dead piece.
Okay, so, he...
is still dead?
Yeah, he's... So, like, he stands up, and he's like, he sort of pushes himself up, and you see that his entire throat has been ripped out, yeah. And there's just this bloody hole.
Oh, no!
Sort of bubbling, and you can see right down into his sort of lungs and stomach. It's, he kind of looks up at you and goes... You're with the hags. And then like this like burst of energy strikes him in the chest. You can roll with advantage to hit him.
Alright, cool. So that'll be 20 plus 7. 14 and an 8. They're probably both misses. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they are. So like it just kind of like strikes like into his chest and the energy is dissipated, doing him no damage at all. I'd like you to all roll initiative, please.
Fuck. Can I run back to Viesa first?
Well, all. Roll initiative for me.
Like shit. what is it?
21.
I get 21 on my initiative.
Man.
Oh gosh, I rolled 4d20s. What? I'm gonna go. I'll do it again.
You're
right?
He gets 56 for initiative. He gets a 6.
Well, I thought you were rolling for like 4 different baddies. I was like, oh, they were gonna die.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Voron, what did you get?
I got a 21.
I got a 21.
She got a nat, so we'll let her go.
We'll go with that. Okay, so Viesa, you're at the back of the room. You look up and see this spark of magical energy strike the vampire, the raised Miliov, and does no damage and even knock him back. He is standing between you and the other crates.
I immediately just, as a reaction... I go, and cast Frostbite on him.
Okay, can you tell us what that does?
Frostbite is it's a con save 15, and on a fail you get 2d6 cold damage.
Oh, so it's just... Okay, so he gets... 15.
Oh, shit. Oh, meets it. You
so
saved.
So again, is there anything that happens on the save?
I will 2d6... have it, right? So it's 5.
You'll take 5 damage.
So like again, the magic seems to dissipate against his like dead body and he just steps forward again. But Voron, you get an action before, unless Viesa, do you want to take a movement action? You're currently right at the back of the room by the door.
I'd like to the thing I'd like to do is take some holy water out of my bag and be ready.
Okay, you can definitely do that. And Voron, it's your round.
Just also on that, he has disadvantage on his next weapon attack roll. Does that count for his arms, or...?
Does that have, even on a failed save?
Yeah.
Even on a successful save?
On a failed, sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to start backing up away from him, and just being like, Miliov, sorry, you frightened me. Look, Where are those bones that you stole from the church? We need to get them. The church is under attack by vampires. Hopefully thinking that he doesn't know that he's a vampire.
He kind of like gestures down to like one of the crates at his left. And he goes, yes, I did come for the bones, didn't I? Roll a persuade for me.
All right. Oh, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at many things, but... 17. Woo!
17, he goes, yes, I did come for the bonds.
I need to return them to Father Lucien. I need to do it. And he like turns around and he like smashes one of the crates in front of him, and the whole thing just explodes. Like, his undead strength is immense, and like grave dirt just flies in all directions, but there's no bones inside. And then he turns around and goes, "What is that smell? It's delicious. What is that?" And he kind of looks over your shoulder, Viron, and like looks directly at Viesa. But you've held him off for a round. Viesa, it's your round again.
I would
do
like
it.
Easy. Hi. I'm gonna cast Toll the Dead on him.
Ooh, okay, so Toll the Dead is a new Xanthar spell. In fact, I think it is actually the most damaging cantrip that exists. Do you want to roll to hit?
Yes.
If you get a crit fail, it better not hit me.
In fact, I think he actually just has to make a wisdom saving throw. So, wisdom gets plus zero. So he gets a... Well, he got a three.
So he failed no matter what.
So this, yeah, death toll rings out. Funeral bells ring. Roll for damage.
That's 2d12. Holy fuck.
No, it's 2d8.
No, he failed. If he's missing any of his hit points. Cool.
He is missing his many of his hit points.
Oh.
He's had his whole throat ripped out.
Woohoo.
So give me 2d... Is it... you? Well, it's 1d12 unless you're...
At level 5.
Rolling at a high level.
It's 2d12 because she's level... She's above she's level 5.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so 2d12.
Wow. Oh, goodness gracious. That's... Oh, another natural one! My gosh! That's two natural ones in two rolls. That's...
Six damage.
It's reactionary, and I really don't really want to do it, so my intention is kind of missing... On
yeah.
this, so it's just doink, 6 damage.
Okay, so like I'm willing to do a little bit of meta here, because otherwise you're not going to be doing very much, Aram. So back in the church, let's say like it has been a while. Like, you've had this combat and there's been no sign of Voron and Viesa, and the last time you saw them, they were entering the old coffin maker's shop.
Sure. Well, so, Grayson would stay focused, because he's got to stay focused. He would get the kids into the main room along with the priest and, I'm sorry, the woman's name was again?
Irina.
Irina. Irina, please get the children to the main room. We're going to board it up and protect them the best we can. My friends are searching for the bones for the shrine and will return with them shortly. But we must hurry.
So,
and then while... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so... Would you stay, or like this would be quite a nice moment for Grayson to arrive?
I mean, I can't imagine Grayson would leave the kids, because he would be barking out orders for him to get, you know, rain barrels and for the priest to bless the water. I mean, he would prepare this place for battle. I just can't imagine he would leave.
So the only thing I would say is that maybe, like, you're thinking, like, last time you saw your friends as they were entering the coffin maker shop, which had 6 vampires in, it's not that far away,
right.
And it's been like 20 minutes and there's no sign
right.
of them. Like, so, it's up to you, but this is quite a nice way of you re-entering the story. Otherwise, you might not be in this episode.
If I'm happy that they've boarded everything up, I told them to let no one in unless they're with me. Right. And then I order the priest, well, I ask the priest to start blessing like barrels of water or rain barrels of water, and instruct them to basically put the kids on the altar, surround it with protection. And if they don't have a weapon, get a mop and just soak the mop into the holy water and get ready to splash someone. And then I run off to find my friend still covered in blood.
I love it. And you've obviously played with me as a DM before. So like this funeral toll rings out, and I like the idea that maybe the windows smash, glass flies in all that directions, and like this Miliov is taken back a step, and you see that his wounds seem to blacken as the call to death is sounded out but not answered, and you realize that this being is more powerful than you'd realized. And then you look up and you see Grayson at the window.
Covered in blood.
Covered in
yeah.
blood.
Covered
Jesus!
Blood.
Oh. Grayson is now ginger.
Like a bolt of lightning goes off behind him and it silhouettes him. It's just eyes and blood.
Vampire cat!
Yes! Yes!
And I'm going to give you initiative now, Grayson, so you can step into the initiative at this point.
All right, excellent. I lost the little dice roller. Okay,
so you probably can't see it, but there is a tiny little cat figure here. Is it there, or have I got it on the wrong layer?
I don't see it.
I'm not seeing anything.
I'll put it on a layer. Meow, meow. There it is.
There he is.
There I am. I'm in at 16.
There you are.
Nice. Okay, so actually it is Voron who's going to go next. So Voron, you're next with 21.
Alright, I'm just looking at Mila, I was like, don't attack her.
But she's so tasty. I'm so hungry.
I've been dealing with this stuff for a long time.
Not really.
Don't do it. Don't make me attack you, Miliov. Don't make me attack you. And then, like, I'm just... The cat bursts through the window, and I'm like, fuck. Grayson, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and he kind of looks there, and he kind of starts going into a blood frenzy.
All right.
Oh, hi, Grayson.
So he's going into a blood frenzy? I'm going to cast Firebolt on... Not Firebolt. Scorching Ray on him. Which
nice.
Is.
So three burning rays shoot out of your fingers. So what do they take the shape of? Are these
Especially space, like, right?
Rays of love.
Yes, rays of love. No, right. What?
His chest? Do you fuck him in the chest?
I can't just.
You're the love wizard. You're the love wizard.
Someone
man.
Making some kind of horrible sexual innuendo about it. I'm the love wizard. Yeah. They are serpent heads.
Snake heads.
I was just at a party with them, actually.
We're such children.
They're one-eyed snakes. I'm not the one who's making these fucking jokes, Owen. Alright, so that's 3 to hit. 14, 17, and 25. So I'm assuming 2
okay,
hit.
Yeah, 2 hit.
Alright, cool. What's my damage on that, actually? Sorry, Scorching Ray is 2d6 damage per hit, so that's 4d6. And I do 21 damage.
Oh, wow! Okay, he is now barely standing. He's like on fire. He's like turned into this like half blackened corpse with big chunks of flesh dropping off him. And he's now kind of, his lidless eyes stare at you with fury and anger. And he dashes forward, but before he can, it's Grayson's go.
I just want to like missile through his back and come bursting out through his chest.
Like a chest burster.
Yes!
If you could pull this off, it is reasonable to think that you could do that. You need to do quite a lot of damage, but it's definitely possible.
I can spend a key point to do Flurry of Blows, so that'll give me 1, 2, 3, and then one more attack. So. Let's see what happens. All right, the first one is a 20 to hit.
Ooh, nice, that hits.
Second one is a 20 to hit.
Wow.
And the third one is a natural 20 to hit.
Wow. So can you give me 4 rolls? So 2 for the 2 normal hits and 2 for the crit.
Excellent. So,
if you want to burst through his chest, you need to do more than 14 damage.
33 points of damage with that entire strike.
Jesus Christ. You can burst out of his skull with that.
Wow.
So with death from massive damage, it has to be more than his total hit points, doesn't it? Not his current hit points.
Correct.
Yeah, so if he had like 10 hit points, you'd have to do 10 points of damage, take him down to 0, and then 10 points to take him. So if he had 50 hit points total and he was on 3 hit points, you still have you have to take him to minus 50 in one shot. So you can't do death from massive damage to him. But yeah, if you want to describe what happens to him as you take him down to 0 hit points, I'm keen on this description.
So this thing is wounded and beat up, and I think that Grayson's monk training really has him go for vulnerabilities. He's not strong. He's a tiny little cat, so he's got to take weaknesses. And he would just seem like a hole under like the bottom right of the guy's back. And he would just dive forward, make his little cat body as small as possible, plunge into the cavity of his body, crawl up, like kind of slice at his heart and then burst out through his chest.
Can you
like,
burst out with the heart in your mouth?
Yes. Beating. A beating heart in my mouth.
And have you got a one liner that would fit at the end?
I can't. I got a mouthful of heart. I mean, he could drop it. No, I could. He spits it out and he's still like half hanging out of this guy's chest. He's like, "Hello, my friends."
Where's the punch? That's what they call a beating, as he drops the beating heart. Come on.
No, you just like, I'm here, get away from her, you bitch. Oh, God.
I feel that someone needs to get inspiration for this, but Owen's already got inspiration. So, Aram, you can have inspiration for your.
Thank you. We've
already got
much
inspiration anyway that I haven't used yet.
Fantastic. Okay, so he drops the ground, and but you see like the parts of his body still squirming, and his insides like moving, his organs still be like heart still beating on the floor, as this kind of undead monstrosity desperately tries to reform itself into some semblance of life.
Slice the heart in two.
Viesa, do you have an axe or any bladed weapon?
I do.
Dismember this creature, please.
I'm going to take out my rapier. First, I'm going to douse him in holy water.
Nice.
And say a quick prayer, a really lightning fast prayer to the Raven Queen, and then I'm going to take my rapier and I'm going to do my best to cut his head off.
Half an hour later, as you're sawing the first leg off.
Yeah.
This is harder than it looks.
I got a little bit here. I'm still going. Okay.
So we have now a completely blood splattered cat. Like there's no part of Grayson that isn't completely soaked in blood, and we now have a blood splattered Viesa as well. Which
like that lion face meme that's been going around, just completely.
It's exactly what I was thinking, except it's everywhere now.
Yeah. I kind of feel that we need a will save from Voron for his like undead form doesn't take over, because I feel that like suddenly this like darkness begins to try and take control of you, Voron.
What's a will save?
So wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom. You should be wise as fuck.
Oh, but I still critical fail.
Okay, the red mist takes over you, and you immediately dive straight for Viesa with teeth bared. And we're going to flick over to the other guys.
Yes.
Oh no.
Okay, so I think we're gonna stick with Saf, who's being knocked around by for what he knows, no idea at all. But you're outside this door, Saf.
Cool. I'm going to. So I basically got thrown against this wall and realized like there's like a seam in the wall where there's like a hinge or a door or something. Yeah.
It's just a normal door under the stairs. There's a door heading down.
Oh, okay, I thought it was a hidden door. Well, I'm going to just stroll on through it, because it, under the stairs, it looks like it's out of the way, and there's no noise coming from it, so why not?
It's locked.
Thieves, tools, and I'm going to put, like, so I reach into my little belt pouch, pull out my thieves tools, and, like, normally when I'm doing this, I'm looking over my shoulder to make sure nobody's watching, but I'm, like, now paranoid, because three times in the last, like, 14 minutes, I've been thrown around like a ragdoll, and I'm just like, almost nervously, manically, like, okay, I need to get out of this place. It's weird. And trying to thieves tool open this door.
Okay, Sylvarex, Ismark looks at you and goes, "What the hell is he doing? I thought he was our bard."
"So did I. But it seems he has kept a secret from us. Interesting."
Okay, so Owen, give me a sleight of hand.
A sleight of hand. Do I get advantage because I'm proficient in thieves tools?
No, you're just able to use thieves tools. No one else is allowed to use.
You get to add your proficiency bonus
to my.
But you would anyway for a sleight of hand.
Plus 9, I rolled a 12 total. My God, plus 9, and I'm already getting over 10.
Is this one of your
expertise
the things you chose then?
Expertise. Yes, I have 4 expertise. I have deception, persuasion, sleight of hand, and stealth, and they're all plus 9.
Okay, so this lock is not particularly good quality, so you only need a 10 to get through. So it clicks open. Revealing a dark stairway leading down about 15 feet to at the bottom, where there is an iron-bound closed door.
Okay.
At this point, he may just hear this one voice just sort of talking to himself from beyond the door. As if there's someone else there.
So when you say an iron-bound door, it's like wooden with iron banding, basically.
Yes.
Grant. I'm going to continue on and try and push open this door.
It is also locked, and you look down and see that this lock is of much better quality.
So at this point, I'm kind of just still freaked out by the previous thing. I'm like rushing to try and get through this again with my thieves' tools. And I roll an 18 this time.
18 will do it, so 15 for a good lock.
A leak.
The door creaks open and this a stench kind of almost overwhelms you. Like this is not a place of happiness, obviously. It's in Barovia. It's about an inch deep in fetid water, which has the colour of, it's like a greenish red. You see at the end of the corridor there are three doors, one to the left, one to the right, and straight ahead you see through the bars the figure of Eric, still dressed in his armour.
Just sort of leaning over. So looking up around the room. Well, you're certainly taking your time, Sylvarex. What? Are you still even here?
So this is, how long is this corridor? Like, I'm at the door. This is the other end of this like corridor, I guess. Is it fair?
I don't have a map for this. Maybe I do. Hang on, let me see.
I don't need a map. I'm just curious for my own description and kind of what I want to do.
You said 15 feet earlier.
It's 15 feet. Yeah, sorry, I don't have.
We really don't need this. I just wanted to know because I'm going to pop Dr. Hootson into the pocket dimension from outside and then make him reappear with me.
Okay.
Nice.
And have him fly over into the cell and perch down beside Ulrich. And I can use him to cast spells, so I don't know if it's dark enough so they can see or not, but I'm going to basically have him cast message to say... And at this point, I hear this, so I just assume Ulrich has gone nuts, because I know Sylvarix is dead. And
Eric.
Sorry, Eric.
Eric.
I prefer Ulrich. Go to Ulrich. Anyway, Eric. Eric, it's Saf. Who are you talking to? What? Sylvarix is dead. How are you here?
Can I see? It's an owl now.
You can just see Saf like 15 feet away at the end of the
corridor. I know, but he also did the thing with this.
It's
at the
a
owl.
Message. It and doesn't. Then, I'm not standing I'll, in I'll, any weird fetid green white green red water. Message.
I hear him in my head, but I also hear him behind me, and I sort of turn around like, you do realize I can hear you from where you are.
That's not how message works. We've been over this.
Can I push him again into the water?
I fucking hate you.
give me a charisma roll.
So you're going to go to basically to fucking Iskar, hold my beer, dude.
This is what happens when they like
I want
the original guy. Four get back together. It's just Bully Owen. And
with a 12, you do not manage to push. Like for a moment, you kind of like you feel Saf's body, but your hand just passes through him. And he wobbles for a second, but he's far too dexterous. He still stays on the ledge.
Aha! That's all he says. He feels like he's about someone. He doesn't know who, but he wants him to feel bad about it.
I've got you, Sylvarix, and rolls a 19 plus 2, 21. Saf goes flying forward 10 feet and lands in the muddy water in front of you.
And takes one dude.
Eric stands up and turns around. As he stands up, he almost sort of loses his balance, as if something is wrong with his natural equilibrium. And he turns around facing the bars, almost actually... head towards the top of the doorway as he looks forward, and it's like, why did you jump into the water? I just need you to open the door.
So Saf, just a couple of things. Now you're much closer. You can see, first of all, Yevgeny, who you know was possessed by Sylvarix, is lying unconscious in the cell. There's also a small, wizened old man who's kind of rocking backwards and forwards, seems almost catatonic. And Eric is there, but he is taller. Looking more like the size of a human than a dwarf, and thinner, and his body is no longer just skeletal. There is still skeleton there, but he's also covered in kind of red flesh.
Okay, cool. And it's very
obvious. Very little of me that's exposed through my faceplate.
Yeah. It's very obvious.
Still wearing armor.
He's wearing really, really small, like, tight armor, is he?
No. The armor's expanded with not magic armor.
So am I... Oh, yeah, I forgot we got this.
Also significantly slimmer than I used to be.
And Dave, Saf is wearing an immense wizard's hat. Like, it's, you know, like, what's the character, Aram from Thundercats?
Orko.
That's from He-Man.
Orko.
Let's skip over everything that's happened, how we ended up here. I just want to know what's with the hat.
So he still has a German accent, does he?
Yes.
Like, that's how I know it's... Well, how do I know
he's
it's
got, he's got the accent that Dave's speaking with now.
It all makes perfect sense.
He's a skeleton with flesh. Okay.
I mean, the beard is still there. Again, the blonde notes that were coming through earlier are much stronger. The darkest of my beard is now just a dirty blonde, but the braiding is still there. My comportment, while slightly different, is still there. The heraldic symbols of the tabard are still there. His comportment is slightly different. He's taller. The accent has changed. He's different, but still recognizable.
Okay. Eric, is that you?
Well, who else would it be?
Literally anyone else. You are different looking. You are like
how many skeleton dwarves do you know?
I would, but you're not. Are you a dwarf?
What are you talking about? Of course, I am a dwarf.
So I walk up to the bars and, like, I assume he's at the bars talking to me, and I'm like, grab him. I'm guessing now, because your normal size, like, around just the, like, torso, like, at the hips, because you're taller than me now, yeah?
But you've gotten smaller.
I mean, yeah, look, what happened to you? How did you end up here? I mean, Sylvaric's body, it's somewhere safe. We hid it near the gate. It's kind of buried in the river, but other than that, it's like safe. How did you end up here? Where's Sylvaric? What happened? This guy, you have what's his face?
I don't know. He's still a little bit, well, disembodied, dead. What's the PC term?
I retake the body of
Yevgeny. Okay, give me a charisma check.
Do you have to charisma check a dead body?
So with an 8, you kind of like you're unable to enter him.
I say.
Wow.
So you're not sure if it's just that you don't have the mental prowess, you know, the strength of will, strength of personality, or maybe just because he's unconscious.
I haven't done this. I'm still new to being a ghost. I'll have to try again in 5 minutes.
In a very un-Erich-like way, I look over at the bodies. It starts to, you know, I assume it twitches or convulses slightly. At this, like, oh, that'll be Sylvaric coming along.
at that point, like Saf jumps back and says, when, like, karate stance. So that, what is going on? Who are you? What is this? What do you know, my friends?
Just a sort of a story thing. Does Saf know about Sylvaric's possessions?
Yeah, I think everyone was made clear.
Yeah.
Because I told...
We found out at the tower.
Voron.
We found out in the tower with the giant skeleton.
You remember, he's dead, he's floating around, possessing people, you know, normal things. Again, the gesticulation, the sort of grandiose, you know, almost foppish gesticulations of Erich strike you as unusual.
So how did you... Okay, let's say you are Erich. How did you end up here? Who is that guy? Do we know who the old guy is? I don't know who the old guy is.
Well, to be honest, the plan was that Sylvaric was going to go live in him for a little while and find something out, but at the moment, I was just sitting here waiting. Don't suppose you could, you know, open the cell doors, do something useful?
Yeah, sure. One second. He whips out the thieves' tools and just, like, I hope, quickly sorts it out. No bother.
Give me a roll.
Thieves' tools, sleight of hand, isn't it? +9. I rolled a 15 total.
15 will do it. It's on the nose. And Sylvaric has possessed Yevgeny again.
I retry for the second time.
I think if you just rolled 22.
Yes, I did roll 22.
So, and I think we're going to turn the action to where a blood-crazed Voron is about to try and eat.
Yes,
sir.
Lisa's character.
Lisa's character. Good
no,
job.
No, thank you. But no, thank you. That's...
I'm sorry, Lisa.
I am
He's
not
just
pie.
Not your type, is he?
No. No.
Do you like your partners more alive?
Yeah, a little less necrotic. Yeah. Just a little pet peeve. Just a little
death.
Can I get Voron to roleplay blood craze? Is that a thing? Do you want to go?
Joe's holo.
Oh my god.
I can't. I fucking knife you on the spot now. Fuck you, Joe. I don't know how to roleplay.
There you go.
It's just no longer this.
He dives at Miesa.
So Miesa and Grayson, you've basically seen Voron go turn crazed at this blood in all directions as dive for Miesa. So I'm going to have to ask you to all roll initiative again.
Yep.
But I not go for the cat first, it's like an appetizer.
We finally get along as a group and now you're making us PvP a story.
21.
20.
Jesus, Voron rolled a 21 again.
Good he lord. He's
really hungry. The last thing he ate was some rats in the church.
18.
Grab a okay. Hot pocket, dude.
Okay, so Voron, can you roll a grapple check? So this would be your athletics versus VS's athletics or acrobatics.
Am I just mindless and just melee attacking, yeah?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you're trying to bite it.
Right, I'll do it. Acrobatics because...
No, you can't. So with a grapple, you have to do athletics. Right.
Oh, that went badly. You gotta call it out.
Oh my god. Okay, so on my acrobatics, I rolled a natural 1, and I have a +2 modifier on that. And then on athletics, I have a +1, but I rolled a 19, which is a critical.
That was amazing.
So, Riesa, what did you roll?
Come on, that's right.
Oh, dear lord.
Wow, double one.
That could have gone worse.
Critical fail.
Yeah. Okay, so do you have more than one attack, Voron, or are you just on
I'm
one
just
attack?
On one attack. Just
oh my god.
Plain old.
Okay, so because you don't have a multi-attack, this round you have grappled Viesa, and you're kind of like sort of snapping at her with your undead teeth.
Trying to get at her.
So it is, next is Grayson.
Okay, I still... Fuck.
Hey,
well, I don't want to kill him, so
kind of,
yeah. I'm going to try...
He just burst through my chest.
I'm going to try and like knock him out, so I'm going to hit him with a stunning strike. I'll spend a key point, and I am spending inspiration.
Nice.
To try and
you
save
can roll the
my
dice,
friend.
Then you can spend inspiration.
Oh, right.
Before I tell you if it succeeds or not.
Fair enough. Then I'm going to roll. That's a 12. I'm definitely spending inspiration. That's an 18.
Okay, Voron, you have to make, I believe it's a con check, am I con save?
Yes, it's going to be a DC, DC 15 con save.
Constitution is +3, so I failed. I got a 7.
Yes. So that's stunning strike, so you are stunned.
All right.
I think that's quite a nice... narrative way of giving Voron a chance to recover, and he's like his like madness recedes. He kind of looks up at you from the ground where he's completely stunned, and in Voron you're yourself again.
And there's just a cat on your chest staring into your eyes. No. No.
Bad elf.
I'm sorry, I don't know
he's
what
he's making gestures as
me.
If he has a squirt, you know, like a squirt bottle.
There's like a rolled up piece of paper and he's hit me in the nose. Bold. I'm so sorry, Viesa. I don't know what happened. I don't know what came over me. I just all the blood, and I just lost it. I just saw red.
Are we good?
We're good. We're good. I swear.
Then we need to get to the church now. Where are the bones?
Miliov seemed to think it was in one of these crates when we mentioned it. So check them quick, and we will get straight back to the church.
All right. I will start sniffing them out.
Get off me, please.
It does not take.
Sorry.
He's off you, VS. Like the stunning strike knocked him to the ground. That's fine. You're no longer being molested.
Jesus.
I was not molesting her, Joe. You fucking asshole. Word of choice.
I'm holding out the vial of holy water like.
Assault.
Stay back.
You literally just saw this cat appear on his shoulders, take one claw and place it right in his neck where it incapacitated him.
Pressure point.
Fell to the ground.
Nice trick, Grayson. That was cool. I like it.
Thank you.
So, it will take a few minutes, but you will find the bones in one of the crates.
Good deal.
And I think that's a really good place to leave today's episode.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much, everyone, for playing, and I'm so glad we've managed to get four groups down to two groups. My DM stress levels have now dissipated, so that's really good. Again, thank you everyone for playing, and thank you everyone at home for listening. If you've enjoyed what I've done, obviously my name's Joe, and you can find me on Twitter at HWRPodcast. You can check out some of my writing on DriveThruRPG. Just search for my name, Joe Trier, or the Idol of Thoth. Guys, and dudes, what are you doing? Anything you're up to? Where can people find you? Let's start with Owen.
You can find me on Twitter at HowWeRollOwen. Owen is spelled E-O-G-H-A-N. Or also on our Discord. If you want an invite to Discord, just hit me up on Twitter or hit Joe up on Twitter.
Niall?
My name is Niall. I'm not really on any social media, but if you want to find me, I'm usually hanging around the Discord somewhere. So you can find me through that also.
Dave, can anyone find you?
No, I am unfindable unless you live in Manchester.
Which one fan has found you?
The same pubs I do. One fan found my wife.
That sounds so creepy. You can't just say that.
That sounds
creepy.
Yeah,
no,
really
does. No. She met a fan who was a teller in a shop somewhere in Manchester. No, I can't deal with social media for various reasons. So, contact the other guys. They will tell me, pass on anything else. And I really appreciate all the love from you guys, fan art especially.
Amazing. And Aaron, how can people find you? And do you want to add anything you want to plug?
Hey, guys. You can find me out. I stream three times a week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on Mixer at mixer.com/OneEyeWilly, where you can see me play games and just have a good old time. Also, check out my Twitter. I post on there any work I do and any other important tweets that I may be up to. And check that out at GruntyBabyUK on Twitter.
Lisa, where can people find you? Anything going on in June? Whenever this will go out.
I'm Lisa Lee, and you can find me at Lisa Bell on the Twitter. And hopefully I can talk about some stuff later if you guys are already when E3 happens, like that.
And Rom, are you on the internet at all? Do you do anything else other than how we roll?
Bit. No, not really. All the games that I either... play in, write, produce, or edit can be found at neonrival.com. We have started a monthly show the last Friday of every month in Chicago, and you can find more about that at the Chicago Podcast Fest. And I have a world book for sale. I have now 59 copies left. We sold two while we've been playing the game. So if you want a world book, head over to worldbook.godsfall.com.
And I'm pretty sure when this goes out, this will be zero. There'll be zero left.
Yeah, more than likely. But you can always get the PDF as well. So just go over to godsfall.com and it'll always be available, or drive through our RPG.
Amazing. And thank you again. Thank you all for playing. It's been a real pleasure tonight. And thank you at home, everyone, for listening. For those in Twitch, we will be back in 5 minutes. For those listening at home, we will be back next week. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much for listening. If you can't wait until next week to hear what happens next, then all you need to do is subscribe to our Patreon, where you will find the next two episodes have already been uploaded. In fact, we are actually only a few dollars away from our next milestone, which will allow us to massively upgrade our music and sound effects library and also replace some of our equipment. So if you like what we do and want to help us out, then visit our Patreon at patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. Every dollar you can spare really helps us out. We also want to say a big thank you to Garpu's iTunes review and to BattleBards for use of their amazing sound effects and music. You should definitely check them out. Take care, and we'll see you all next week.